Forgive my scratchy voice. I'm a little sick, so you can pray that my voice would last an evening. I got to spend my birthday in Mongolia this week. It's the best way to spend a birthday with you all. I turned 46. Ooh, yes, I'm getting up there. But I tell you, I was, oh, thank you. I know. Somebody saying to me this year. So thank you. I tell you, I was so glad for this year to start. Last year was quite a year for me. Do you ever have those years where you're really glad they're over? For me, last year, my mother passed away. She was my best friend. We talked every day. But I tell you what, I think it's very interesting that the theme of our conference is resilient. My mother's mind was very sharp. And I'm so grateful she loved the Lord with all her heart. It's because of her prayers that I'm standing here today. You'll hear more about that later tonight. But my mother's physical body was not in very good shape. She suffered from arthritis, which made her hands very disformed. And it made her hunch over like this. And so when I think of resilient, it means to restore something better than it was before. So now when I think about my mother in heaven, her physical body is no longer like this. Do you hear me? She is a new creation. Her physical body is restored better than it ever was before. Amen? So I find joy in the morning. But I tell you what else it does. When someone you love, how many of you have had someone very close to you that you love pass away? I see your hands. Yeah, so you know what I mean. It changes you, doesn't it? You look at this world a little bit differently. And you start to put things into perspective, don't you? And I tell you what, I was there with my mother when she took her last breath. And when we draw our last breath, there are no second chances. There are no do-overs at that point. She was ready to meet her maker. But now I wonder, am I ready? Are you ready? Do you understand, women, we need to live our life to make sure that we get through those pearly gates, that we get to heaven, that we get to spend eternity with our loved ones who are already there. We want to get to a place where we are restored, right? In heaven, where we were better than we ever were before. So tonight, my hope and my prayer is that the Holy Spirit would minister to you in such a way to convict you that you will no longer settle for an ordinary life, that you will set your eyes to heaven and the way that you live your life will get you there. Let's bow your heads and pray. Lord Jesus, we just invite you into this place. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you use my voice physically, Lord, that you would give me the strength to speak. And spiritually, Lord, that it would be your words, not my words, but your words, Lord. I thank you in advance for every woman here. Yes. I thank you that their lives will be restored. And that they will walk away from here changed. And from this point forward, they will never be the same again. Amen. All right, I want to talk to you about freedom. Can everyone say freedom? Amen. The definition of freedom it means personal liberty. A better way to explain it, it's the opposite of bondage and slavery. If you had a choice to live in bondage and slavery or to live in freedom, if someone were to ask you freedom or bondage, you would probably pick freedom. It's one thing to say we choose freedom. It's an entirely different thing to walk and act in freedom. So my question to you is, are you walking in freedom today? Are you experiencing all that God has for you? Are you living your life in such a way that you're making an impact for the kingdom? And are you living a life without regret? This is what freedom means. One of the ways we get to this wonderful freedom is to confess our sins. Confession means to own or admit something. To own or admit your words or your actions. Let me give you an example. I have three daughters at home. The oldest one is 11 years old. And we call her a little sneaky. And here's why we call her sneaky. She likes to tell little lies. Did you take your vitamins this morning? Yes, mommy. You know, I cleaned her room one day. And I opened her drawer. Do you know what I found in the drawer? A handful of vitamins. Sneaky. Sneaky. Yes, mommy, she lied to me. Oh, the nerve. Okay, so when we confronted her about it, I showed her the vitamins. I had the evidence. She was caught. But you know what? She didn't own it. She didn't take responsibility for it. You know what she did? She blamed her sister. She said it was her sister's fault. And this is the way with her. Every time she gets in trouble, she blames everybody else. And never takes responsibility for her actions. And I'm telling you, that's a bitter root. And it is my mission to pull that weed out right from under her. If I don't get it now, it's going to grow, and it's going to get bigger, and it's going to get bigger, and little white lies will soon turn to bigger lies, and the bigger lies will turn into even grander lies. What lies are you telling yourself? When your friend confronts you, when your husband comes to you with something he sees in you, do you get defensive? Do you try to blame everybody else? Or do you take responsibility? Do you own it? James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. So you may be healed. So you may be healed. The enemy wants to convince you to keep your sin a secret. To keep it hidden. He wants to make you feel ashamed. The enemy wants to make you feel guilty for your sin. But Jesus says, confess your sins to one another. Speak them into the light. Take them out of the darkness. And when you reveal it, God is going to heal it. Amen. The main reason for me, why I feel so passionate about this, is because I spent half my life wearing a veil of shame and the burden of guilt. The enemy had a foothold in my life and convinced me that my sin should stay a secret. You see, I stand here today and I love so much because I have been forgiven of so much. Amen. I became a Christian when I was 30 years old. Now, one of the great parts about finding Jesus later in life is I get to look back over all those years and I can see all the places Jesus had his hand on me. Before I even acknowledged him, he was guiding my steps. He was protecting me. He was healing my body. I have been forgiven much. Because all those 30 years that I had without Christ, believe it or not, I was a really good sinner. I got into all kinds of trouble. Let's see. I started stealing when I was 12. I started doing drugs when I was 13. I started having sex when I was 16. I started looking at pornography when I was 18. I started cheating in school when I was 17. I started lying when I was very little. I started drinking alcohol when I was 12. Should I go on? I could go on and on and on. Gossiping was a sport for me. It was a habit. It was entertainment for me. Okay. But over the years, that sin started to convict me. Because it was a secret. I never told my parents any of that. They had no idea. And my dad would look at me. And he would say, Melissa, I'm so proud of you. In fact, he would cry when he said it. And inside, I just wanted to curl up and die. Inside, I just felt so shameful. If he only knew about all the skeletons in my closet. He would be so disappointed. I was convinced he'd never forgive me. I just couldn't bear to tell him. However, there came a day when I met my Jesus. When I understood who my Creator was. I remember the day right now as if it was yesterday. It was the day I confessed my sins. It was the day I spoke things that I had never said out loud. It was the day I was washed with the blood of Jesus. I was set free. The veil of shame was removed. The guilt was lifted. I don't think my feet even touched the ground. I thought I was walking on air. I was a new creation. Only Jesus can do that. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am a daughter of the King. And guess what, ladies? So are you. So are you. Amen? Listen, there's something to this confession. It has to do with forgiveness. We all know that we were forgiven of our sins, right? Hundreds of years ago, Jesus was on the cross. And his blood was shed for our sins. Every sin. is forgiven. It was done years ago. It's done one time. It's final. And it is done. He doesn't die on the cross every time we sin. It's done. All you have to do is receive it. The work's been done. But daughters, will you receive it? Now, just as God forgives us, we are to forgive each other. God says we will be forgiven as much as we forgive others. I don't know about you, but I'm really glad that God doesn't keep account of my sins. I'm really glad when I ask for His forgiveness, it's done and it's wiped clean. But can we say the same thing for people that offend us? People that hurt us. People that treat us unfairly. How easy are you to forgive them? Oh, well, if you knew what they did, I'm justified to hold my offense. I have every right to not forgive them. Oh, really? What about how much have you been forgiven? I'm telling you, if you want this forgiveness, you need to check your heart and think about the offenses you're holding against each other. Matthew 6:14 says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, your Father will not forgive you." That's the Bible. Hear me, this isn't me talking. I didn't make this stuff up. I'm just the messenger. This is the word of God. Amen. All right, let me give you an example. When I got saved at 30 years old, the Bible teacher gave me an exercise. We were all sitting in the room just like you are now. He had us bow our heads and close our eyes. And he had us start to think. If there was someone who could walk in this room right now and come up on stage, is there someone that could come in this room and sit right next to you that would make you feel uncomfortable? Is there someone that would come in this room and make you feel uneasy? Someone that you would avoid and not make eye contact with. Someone you hope they don't see you. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you. Saying you've got something you've got to deal with. There's an offense. And you need to extend forgiveness to that person. So when I did that exercise, remember, I was 30 years old. I had a list of people. It was a long list. I knew I had a lot of work to do. But let me tell you about one story. In 1992, I was 21 years old. And I got the best summer job I could ever want. I was going to be a tennis instructor and teach people how to play tennis. On a beautiful tropical island in the Caribbean. At a very fancy resort. It was going to be the best summer ever. But in the middle of this paradise, in the middle of this dream job, I was a thief. I was a compulsive shoplifter. Steal. I would steal things. And I stole things every day from the resort. And I would hide them in my room. And I got caught. One night I was in my room by myself. And there was a loud bang on my door. Bam, bam, bam. And a giant African woman. I'm a little white girl. Big African woman. She was scary and very intimidating. She beat down my door. She tore my room apart. And she found everything that I had stolen. She took it back to her store. And she made a list of all the items that I stole. It was a long list. And she added up all the money that each item was worth. She made me sign the paper. She took my picture. And then they sent me off the island. The head of the resort came to me. He didn't put me in jail. He didn't arrest me. He didn't tell my school I was there on an internship. He just gave me a plane ticket and sent me away. At first, I was happy. I got caught, but nobody has to know about it. I can go back to the United States, back to my school, back to my friends and family. And nobody has to know. So I didn't tell anybody. They asked, why are you home early? I lied. I just say, I wanted to come home. Okay. I was bound by shame. I was bound by even more guilt. But that day, when I was 30 years old was the first time I ever spoke about it. And in an instant, I was forgiven. And now I think I carried that shame for so many years. It was so unnecessary. All you have to do is confess it to the Lord. It's not complicated. It's not a fancy formula. Forgive me, Lord. And it's done. Amen. All right. Part of this exercise of thinking about someone coming into the room and making us feel uncomfortable . So now I had confessed that sin, right? I felt pretty good with the Lord. That burden was lifted. But then the Lord started to talk to me again. And he said, you need to ask forgiveness from the person at the resort. Oh, no, Lord. You surely don't mean that. You see, 10 years had gone by. How was I to know if he even still worked at that resort? This man was from the country of Morocco. All I knew was his first name was Mustafa. Do you see the excuses I made? Oh no, there's just no way. It's not logistically possible. So I tried to ignore it. For 2 months, every time I got into worship, my heart would get pinged. And Mustafa's face would come to my mind. Ah, finally, I had to do something. I wrote a letter to Mustafa. It's been 10 years. I had to explain where I was and who I was. Remember me? I'm the girl that stole thousands of dollars. And by the way, you didn't get all the clothes I hid. So here's a check for the money that I didn't return. And I put that letter in an envelope. And then I wrote another letter to the corporate headquarters. And I had to explain to them, 10 years ago, I was on this island and I was playing tennis. And I stole thousands of dollars from your resort. And I need you to find this guy Mustafa from Morocco. It just was complicated, people. It was not easy. But I had to do it. I was not going to have peace unless I did it. So when I sent the letter off in the mail, once again, I walked on air. I was free. Finally, I could worship without getting Mustafa's face in my head. Amen. there's a cost for freedom. It can be painful. It can be difficult. It can be hard. But there's peace. And it's worth it. Do whatever it takes to find your peace. Okay, so it's safe to say after I got caught from stealing, I never stole again. No way, never, never, never. They scared it out of me. That was easy to overcome. But you know, I had a lot of sins. And some of them just weren't that easy to overcome. I had been doing some of them for so long, so many years. They had become habits. And you guys know, habits are hard to break sometimes. I realized right then I needed help. I could not do this on my own. I needed accountability. Accountability is answering to somebody. Accountability is being held liable for your actions. I needed accountability. Accountability is when we teach our friends. When we encourage and support them. When we exhort them. But accountability is never done through manipulation or domination. It is something we do on our free will. But when you can live a life that's accountable to others, you can live a life of freedom. But if you choose not to have accountability, there's just going to be consequences. You're going to have sin. You can fool yourself and you can kid yourself and tell yourself that nobody's watching. That nobody cares. My sin doesn't affect anybody. But God sees. And He wants to forgive you. But He also wants you to repent. Repent is turning your back on the sin. You may be led back to your sin. But repenting is not picking it up. Repenting is turning your back on it and running as far away from it as you can. Paul wrote to the church, "We loved you so much that we were delighted to share our lives with you." And the gospel. Because you had been dear to us. You see, being accountable to others is one way that God keeps us accountable to Him. People are discipled through relationships. It's why a bulk of the scriptures talk about people's lives. The Bible is full of stories about people's triumphs and trials. God revealed his truth to us through stories of people and relationships. Their joys and their sorrows were connected through relationships. The goal of accountability is to live in reality. When you're not accountable to anybody, you're kidding yourself. You're kidding yourself that you can do it on your own. You're kidding yourself that your sin doesn't matter. And you're disobedient to God. Without accountability, there's no way we can be a mature Christian. There's just no way. It would be like trying to train a child up without disciplining a child. It would be trying to run your office at work without any rules. It would be trying to lead an army without any authority. You see, accountability is to the Great Commission. As much as train tracks are to a train. The train cannot go anywhere without the tracks. And your relationship with the Lord cannot go anywhere without accountability. Psalms 90, verse 8 says, "You are aware of our sins. You are aware of our sins. You even know about our hidden sins." God knows our sins. Even the ones we don't speak. We're not fooling him when we don't talk about him. He already knows all about it. He's just waiting for us to take responsibility and own it and confess it. But the choice is yours. Are you going to be accountable? You can be accountable to your husband. In fact, I encourage you to. You should be accountable to your husband. It may be embarrassing or hard at first, but I promise you it's going to get you closer together. We all need someone like Paul in our life. Paul was a great mentor. We should all find someone to mentor us. Someone who has walked the path before us. Someone who is more mature than us in the Lord. Someone who has already been in the same life stages that we've already been in.
Okay.
Find a mentor to be accountable to. We also need friends. We need peers that we can be accountable to. And hear me, the peers that you are accountable to, they are only women. You do not confess your sins or be accountable to another man. Do you hear me? That is an open door that is going to lead to no good. You should also find someone younger than you. An accountability girl that you can be accountable for her. Be a safe person for a young woman that you can come alongside her. You can lead her and guide her. But the younger generation need you. They depend on you. We need to rise up and be there for them. Why do I bother telling you all this? Because it's important. It matters. I'm not interested in just getting by. I'm not interested in just going through the motions day by day. I've got a mother up in heaven. And I am going to do whatever it takes to be reunited with her. Therefore, I choose to obey God. I choose to confess my sins. I make the decision to forgive myself because God has forgiven me. I make the decision to forgive my friends. Our days are numbered. We don't know when our last day is. We need to be ready. I started an accountability group after I got saved. Remember, I told you I had all these sins that I didn't know how to break the habit. So I gathered my friends and I invited them to my living room. The first night, one girl showed up. And I thought, well, that's one friend I didn't have yesterday. But the next week, two girls showed up. And the next week, four girls. And so on, and so on. At the end of the duration of the group, I had maybe 30 girls coming to my living room. And let me tell you why. Because we needed each other. We couldn't do it alone. And when I started to confess my sin to them, I was a little bit embarrassed. It was awkward and uncomfortable. But not one sin that I confessed. Was there someone in the group that said, I'm struggling with that too? I thought I was the only one. Or maybe there was someone else in the group that said, I used to struggle with that, but now I overcame it, and here's how I did it. By confessing our sins and being accountable, we became iron that sharpened iron. We began to mature in our walks with the Lord. And we broke those old habits. And we walked in our freedom. Let me tell you one other thing I discovered in that small group. Whenever we had a new girl come and it was her first night, we would go around the room and introduce ourselves. And I would always ask the question, why are you here? You know the number one answer. The most popular answer. I don't have any friends. These were beautiful women. They had good jobs. They dressed so nice. They looked all put together. I saw them every Sunday in church. But they had no friends. They would come to church alone. They would come a little bit late and sit in the back row. And they would leave a little early so they didn't have to stay and talk to anybody. And they were alone. They would go to work during the week. And they would come home on the weekends. And they wouldn't talk to another person all weekend. Until they went back to work on Monday. These ladies were isolated and alone. And they were hurting. And they were living in sin. I was that girl. I know, I was that girl. And make no mistake about it. I don't assume that just because you're here on a Wednesday night, and I see how beautiful you all are, and I see you paying attention, I even see you sitting next to people. But you're alone. And it's time to change that. You need to reach out and find a friend. It's impossible to show the love of God outside of relationships. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. What do you do when you get with your friends? You confess your sins. You pray for one another. And you get healed. Amen. Amen. All right. He is going to turn your beauty into ashes. He is going to use your past mistakes, your past sins. He is going to use every piece of your story. And he's going to use it to minister to others. He's going to turn your ashes into beauty. Will you let him? There's a cost. When you deal with women, it's not always easy. It can sometimes get emotional. It can get a little messy. It's going to require some time. You're going to have to sacrifice some time. It's an effort. You might get phone calls late at night. Oh, help me with this. What should I do about that? But you know what's happening? Marriages are getting restored. Children are coming to Christ. People are getting healed. It's worth the effort. Take the time. Let me also tell you one other thing. Billy Graham is one of the most famous American evangelists. He married a very wise woman. And she said something so profound, I'll never forget it. She said, it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict Billy. It's my job to pray for him. When people tell us their problems, when we get involved in their lives, it becomes real easy to point our finger. And judge them. And point out all the things that are wrong with them. It's not our job. It's our job to pray for them. That the Holy Spirit would convict them, that they would have their own revelation. Amen. Finally, once we've confessed our sins, once we've received forgiveness from God, once we've forgiven our friends and family, once we're living a life of accountability, we are to testify. We are to share our testimony. Testify means to bear witness. To show evidence. To declare fact and show truth. God has given you a story to tell. You are responsible to share that story. To talk about what God has done in your life. Because he's going to use your story to minister to somebody else. Revelations 12:11 says they triumphed by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. It's easy for me to talk about my sin now. When I tell you those stories and I list all my sins, I really feel like I'm talking about somebody else. It wasn't me. That's the way I feel. Because I stand before you a new creation. I used to get down of all the years I wasted. But you know the years will be restored. I have been made better than I ever was before. I didn't get that revelation until I started sharing my story with other people. Amen. Let me go back to that letter I told you I wrote. Remember, I had written that letter 10 years after the incident had happened. Remember, I sent it off and I was free. Ding, I got an email in my inbox. I opened it up. It was from him. It was from the head of the resort. I could not believe my eyes. It had been 3 years since I sent the letter. And 13 years since I had last seen him. He wrote me very simple. He said, Melissa, I came across your letter the other day. I had saved it in my desk. And I just wanted to check in to see how you are. I was in shock. I live in the United States. This letter found its way all the way to Africa. He saved my letter. So I was so curious, I had to email him back. And I said how thankful I was for him. For the grace and the mercy that he showed me. And I thanked him for that. And then at the very end, I said, please tell me, Mustafa, what prompted you to email me after all these years? And he wrote me back. And he said, my wife and I were so touched by your letter. We found it very emotional. Did I forget to tell you that Mustafa's not a Christian? But him and his wife saved this letter. Because it reminded them that there is good in an evil world. Those are his words. Do you understand why we need to obey? It's not all about us. God is going to use you to plant seeds in other people's lives. His promise says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. He needs your help to do that. But will you obey? Will you listen? The freedom is yours tonight. Will you choose it? Will you receive the forgiveness? Will you say no to the enemy? And will you say yes to our loving Father? Stand on your feet. I'm going to pray for you. Listen, I know some of you, when I started talking about sin, your heart started to beat fast. And your palms started to sweat. I believe the Holy Spirit was convicting some of you. I believe there are some secrets in the house tonight. And it's time to bring them into the light. Amen, ladies. It's time to let go of the veil of shame. It's time to break free from the guilt. Lift your hands to heaven. I want you to just speak in your heavenly language. And I want you to confess your sin right now. I want you to start to speak things that have never been brought to the light before. The time is now. Our days are numbered. We can't wait another day. Confess your sins to Jesus. Roma tapa shanda la la basura beti, repeti tiri la basura beti, rete tere bosunda la 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 basandera, shinda la la. Come on, Lord, more, Lord. Not a single sin will go unconfessed. Shinda la la basura batanda la 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 basanda la basura bata la 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 bata la. Repeti. All right, ladies. I just sense the Holy Spirit right now. One thing I didn't share with you is when I look back to that girl and all that sin she did. I've often wondered to myself, why, Lord? Why did I do that? Why did I behave that way? And when I started asking why, the Lord reminded me. As a small child, I had been sexually abused. It became one of those skeletons in my closet. It became one of those things I never spoke. And I think some of you have been abused. And you feel like it's your fault. You feel like you did something wrong. And the Holy Spirit wants to love on you tonight. You need to confess it. Just confess it to him and let him heal you. When you reveal it, he will heal you. You've got to reveal it to heal it. It's the enemy that wants to make you keep that a secret. But greater is he who is in you than who is in the world. We say no to shame. We say no to guilt. You have no place in our lives. We take authority over sin in the name of Jesus. And we command you to leave in Jesus' name. I want you right now to just stretch out your arms. God is washing. washing his blood over you right now. You are forgiven. It is done. On the cross those years ago, the blood was shed. Your sins are forgiven. Tonight, receive it. Tonight, believe it. Tonight, you're going to walk on air as you walk out of here. Your feet are going to float off the ground. Because the shackles have been broken. Where there is freedom, there is forgiveness. Now some of you, when I was telling the story about someone walking in the room to make you feel uncomfortable, some of you started thinking about those people in your life. Are there people out there that would make you feel uncomfortable if you saw them in the store? If you walked past them on the street? If they came into this room and sat next to you? Right now, I want you to think of those people. And we're going to release them to the Lord. Holy Spirit, more, Lord. Bring all the people. Reveal all the people that we need to forgive. Lord, we want your forgiveness. So help us to forgive others. Lord, you give us the words. You give us the courage. I speak boldness in this room to be obedient to your word. Hallelujah. Forgiveness is yours. Receive it. I want you to start to clap your hands. Because we have some testimonies in this room tonight. There is healing in this room. Healing. We have testimonies. We have been set free. We are free indeed. And there is a kingdom out there. Use us for your kingdom. We are going to stand at your throne, Lord. And you are going to say to us, well done, my good and faithful servant. Let's give God a big clap. Come on, clap your hands. Shout to the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Worthy is your name. Holy is your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. One of these women. Thank you that as they walk out this door, you guide and protect them. Thank you, Lord, that you will bring the people in their lives. That they don't have to be alone anymore. I thank you for each testimony.